Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast.
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. This is the Tuesday edition of Locked On Rams, and I feel like I just did this about 5 minutes ago, because I kind of did. This is a double dipper, Monday episode on Monday, Tuesday episode on Monday night, but that's what we do here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day, Monday through Friday. So I'm not letting you down during the week. We're going to jam-pack another amazing episode for you guys to listen to. It's Tuesday, so you know what that means. We're going to dig into some pro football focus numbers. We're going to get to hear from you, the listeners, in our big up section throughout the show as we take some calls, as we take some questions. So I'm really excited to get to some of that stuff. And then we're just going to get you caught up on Rams football. We had a press conference today. Sean McVay spoke. We're going to get to hear some of that, as he talked about some injury updates and some names that we haven't heard in a while, potentially making a comeback this week. It's Seahawk week, so there's not one boring second this whole week. Even if the Seahawks are 2-2 and have struggled and have some injuries to deal with, it's still the Seahawks. McVay talks about that as well, so we'll get into that a little bit later. Guys, don't forget, go give me a follow. Instagram, Twitter, check us out on iTunes and Spotify. Go subscribe. Share it with somebody. If you're new, thank you. Welcome, my friend. But the rules apply to you as well. Go share it. Go interact. Reach out to me. LA_RamblingBear on Twitter is my personal. Locked On Rams is the show's account for Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Facebook pages. Guys, hang with me if you're requesting to be on the Facebook group. I seem to have some issue with accepting it right now, so I'm dealing with Facebook, trying to open that up. I see zero requests in the inbox, but I've gotten people saying, I'm trying to participate. I want to get in there. I've had two or three people reach out. So I appreciate you giving me the heads up, and hopefully I get this fixed soon so we can continue to join that group and you guys can get in on some of the giveaways we're doing, some of the interaction and discussion we have going on as we're doing picks and, you know, talking different things. So I'm going to open that up as soon as I can. I'm working with Facebook, so hang with me there. And for those of you that haven't yet, come on and join on in. We're going to be doing some fun giveaways. We had a winner last week. He's getting a Rams hat. I want to do something like that again this coming week. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I might just do the score prediction again. I'm looking at potentially getting some tickets here. I know some of you guys are outside the country. Some of you guys are far on the East Coast or in different states. But if you're here in LA, you know, we'll probably do an exciting one where we get some tickets. Maybe be to this next home game coming up, which is a month away, against the same team we're seeing this week, which is the Seahawks. Be a fun home game to go to, so I'll keep you posted on that. Try to figure out a way that we can get people to enter. But as we're getting all this good info out, make sure to go check out some other shows on the network. We're still pushing and releasing our college network, adding teams to it as much as we can. We've got some great shows up, so go check out the Locked On Podcast College Network. NBA is back in full swing as we saw LeBron in a Lakers jerseys finally, so go ahead, make sure to check out Locked On Lakers. Anthony Irwin's over there. He's holding it down for us on that. We've got the Locked On Clippers. Got some new hosts over there, so we're excited to hear what they've got for us this year. Make sure to check them out. And then keeping it in the football family, we've got the Locked On NFL Podcast, which I was supposed to be on this Monday, but again, I was out in the middle of nowhere in Michigan, hanging out with a bunch of my friends, so I couldn't make it on. But I'll be appearing on that occasionally on the Monday episode, which is the top news stories from the local experts, where he brings on a few hosts from around the country to talk about, you know, amazing performances. And of course, we know we had one of those on Thursday. That's with Matt Williamson, so make sure to check him out the rest of the week. He's got some great guests. And then check out the Locked On Fantasy Football. We've had Vinny Lyer on the show before. He's got a great lineup as well, Monday through Friday, talking you through all the fantasy football things that you need to know, who to start, who to sit, who you need to pick up on the waiver wire. They've got all the goods, so if you want a little inside scoop, go check him out as well. But we'll start Tuesday where we start every Tuesday, and that's a little bit of an injury update, a little injury report, and it's going to come again live from Sean McVay at his press conference. This was shared via Twitter, via the Rams. So I pulled some of the audio, share it with you now. He goes back and forth for a while. There's a lot to kind of take in. There's a lot of moving pieces right now. So I'll play some clips, then we'll talk about it coming out of it. Here's Sean McVay on the injury situation we have coming into this week.
Yeah, so with Easley, unfortunately, he just got surgery this morning. And, you know, this poor guy, I couldn't be more impressed with just the toughness, you know, how resilient he's been fighting himself, you know, fighting through so many different things with this knee. And you know, it really it's upsetting because of how many things he's had to go through and what a great job he's done persevering to even get to the point where he's playing this year. Haven't made the decision yet, but it's likely that we're going to put him on IR. And just, you know, it's tough. And you feel for him. You love him. You appreciate everything that he's done for us and the way that he's fought to get back to even this position and contribute the way that he has. And hopefully, you know, I know he was having that surgery this morning, and I'm looking forward to hearing that, you know, everything went well for him, you know, when I talked to Reggie after this. But with Mark, he did participate last week, Rich, and we're encouraged. We're looking forward to seeing how he progresses this week, and there's a possibility that he could be ready to go, and that's something that we're going to evaluate as the week progresses. But this was kind of always a target date that we had set to really get a chance to truly evaluate him, knowing that we had those four games in really a short time span. So this week provides an opportunity to evaluate him, and if we can get Mark back out on the field, we'll feel good about that.
With Dominique, is it the same knee that he tore his ACL last year?
It is. Yeah, it's the same knee.
Do you recall if that's his left or right off the top of your head?
You know what? I'm not sure, Lindsay. You know, it's his meniscus. I want to say as I'm looking at him, it might be his left knee. You know, as I was looking at him the other day when you're talking about just going through this. But poor guy's been through a lot. And really, you know, you just can't say anything except for just how impressed you are with the way he's handled this to get himself into a position to compete. And, you know, these are the kind of things. That's why those injuries that you see yesterday, they hit home, especially when it affects some of your core, you know, some of your players, that these guys mean a lot to you, and you hate to see them go through that. Matt, I think there's a chance also that Greg could be ready to go this week, you know, so that's something that's very encouraging. He had a workout yesterday, did a great job. You know, like anything else, got a little bit fatigued towards the end, but there is a possibility that Greg could be ready to go. How exactly that's factored in with the, you know, whether we end up having two or just one, you know, because we really, you know, we had some injury situations where we had a lot of guys that were able to be active participants the other night, just as a result of some of the guys that we were missing, whether that be JoJo, you looking at Akib and things like that. So those are things that we've been talking about all morning, and really until you really get a little bit further into the week with Greg, with both Mark, those are things that will be evaluated and will certainly affect how we go about our 46 and figuring out who's going to be active on game day. There's a possibility. Yeah, there's a possibility. He had a good surgery. You know, it is on that left hand, so his dominant hand in terms of how he catches the football, really, you know, how he holds the ball, I should say, is with that right. But, you know, we'll see as the week goes with him as well.
Whew! Okay, lot to take in there. So I'm going to do a little quick recap here. We've got Dominic Easley out, surgery, IR, most likely, very sad. It was good to see him back for the 4 weeks we had him. He played great outside linebacker, started most games. Like Sean McVay said, extremely sad, extremely disappointed as far as, you know, for him. You know, worked so hard to get back, sat out all last year, had a bunch of injuries through college. If you're not aware of Dominic Easley's, he was a first-round draft pick, but he dealt with injuries when he was at Florida, and then here in the NFL, he's probably had three or four ACL type issues. So unfortunate for him. Hopefully he continues to fight with the support they have here with the Rams. And then Mark Barron, finally heard his name for the first time in a long time. Potentially may see Mark Barron back this week versus the Seahawks. Sean McVay talked about how they really had planned for this was the target date the whole time. You know, us as fans, we really were hoping to see him right as the season kicked off, but they knew with all the games that they were going to have in a short amount of period of time in those first 4 weeks that this week coming off, you know, that longer rest period of time after the Thursday game would be the best for him. So if all goes well, he was out at practice. They put up video of him in individual drills. He looked good moving around. So hopefully, again, don't need to rush someone back. When you got some of these other injuries, it does help. Again, it goes back to looking at Marcus Peters and how much credibility that he was given almost within that locker room. Gurley was asked about it. Some of the other guys were as well, and they said, you know, it means a lot when you see a guy go through pain and come out there and play and then perform. So we'll see if these guys want to get back out there as well, and if they're really cleared to get out there. And then we heard the shocker, Greg Zuerlein. Wasn't ready for that. Didn't expect to hear that. Really good news. They said he was out there getting some kicks up. You know, like most people at the end of a practice, they haven't been into it for a long time, got pretty tired, but they may bring him out as early as this week. Talked about even carrying two kickers just in case he gets in the game and, you know, isn't you know, pull something or doesn't feel right again, we don't have to go back to Johnny Hecker. Although some people probably would rather do after we've seen Ficken miss a couple short field goals. Nothing that's really burned us too bad, but again, you know, you get into a really must-make situation, and you can't be missing short field goals like that. So the return of Greg the Leg could be as early as this week up in Seattle. And then JoJo Natson, little Mr. Punt Return, little Mr. Spark Plug, JoJo Nasty, back from his surgery. I actually gave him a follow on Instagram, and I saw a picture of his hand, and it almost looks like a fake Halloween stitch setup. He's got this, I mean, it's right down the middle of his hand. It's maybe an inch or two raised off of his hand, and it looks like a good, you know, 15 stitches really covering the whole backside of his palm is this scar where he had surgery on his hand. But McVay talked about it. It's his opposite hand, but obviously you're still going to have to catch the ball. You're still going to have to take hits. So how they wrap that up and how he performs and how he jumps back immediately and gets back in should be interesting. It'd be nice to have a guy that we feel as comfortable back there. We saw Cooper and Blake get back there in punts and kick returns respectively. Did a great job on Thursday night, but we'd like to get back to a guy that we really trust and really as a weapon, right? To really start turning him up a little bit, especially in that punt return game. So we'll see. Another guy to keep an eye on throughout the week, but a big injury report. Lots of news, lots of moving and shaking. So I want to make sure I got to share that with you guys. So with that, we're going to jump over to our first break. Before we do, I want to talk to you again about Shady Rays. I'm really excited to have them on as a sponsor of the show. Shady Rays is an independent sunglass company. They are amazing. I've been rocking them for the past 2 weeks. I've got a couple pairs. I'm in love with them. Took them out on the camping trip. And you know what? I wasn't even stressed about taking them out while we're having some drinks and running around out in the woods, because they have the strongest warranty among any sunglass company that I've ever seen in my life. It includes both a lifetime craftsmanship warranty for every pair and a free replacement if lost or broken. Are you kidding me? You drop them in a lake, ocean, doesn't matter. You smash them or break them, Shady Rays has got your back with a replacement. All you have to do is just cover the shipping and handling fee. So go out there, live your life. Don't worry what happens to your shades, because Shady Rays has got your back with a replacement pair when you need them. Forget all those expensive sunglasses that I never bought because of that exact same reason. I was always afraid I was going to break or lose them. Most of Shady Rays pairs go for about $45. They've got a few that go up a little bit higher, but they are amazing quality. Let me tell you, they really know what they're doing. They're polarized, they're durable, and they feel great. They feel like a $200 pair of sunglasses. They're super clear. And again, with all that, they got your back if you lose them or break them. Side note on some awesome stuff they're doing. Shady Rays also provides 11 meals to fight hunger in America with every order. And so far, to date, they've donated over 1.8 million meals so far. 1.8 million. That's awesome. So not only are they got your back, but they got everyone else's back. So we here at Lockdown Rams need to get their back. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they're going to give you the best deal they've ever given out. It is a buy one, get one. Basically, the code is good for 50% off two or more items at the Shady Rays shop, exclusive to the Locked On listeners only. So, guys, go check it out, shadyrays.com. Enter the promo code Locked On when you're ready to purchase, when you're ready to check out, and they are going to slice that price in half. 50% off two or more shades, shadyrays.com, S-H-A-D-Y-R-A-Y-S. .com. Tell them your boy Bear sent you when you're putting the promo code Locked On in. And believe me, you guys will not be let down. For the warranty alone, this is a must purchase. And I'm telling you, I got two pairs. I'm in love with them. All right, guys, we're going to step aside. One more quick word. We'll be right back with more with Tuesday's edition of Locked On Rams. Every day, yeah, yeah, yeah. I work hard every day, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Tuesday edition of Locked On Rams. Your host, Bear Motter here. Super jacked, excited for a little bit of big ups with Bear. We're going to get to some of your guys' questions, some of your guys' voicemails, and we're going to talk through it. This will probably bleed into the next segment, and then we'll hit some fun pro football focused stats to close the show. Today, we'll start on Twitter. So big ups to Will Powell, my man chiming in all the way over from the UK. First off, thanks for listening. Will's pretty interactive on Twitter as well, so thanks for all the retweets and the likes as well, and always putting in your input along the way as we're doing stuff on Twitter, so appreciate that. Big ups! Question from him is, do you see any other teams that can go toe-to-toe with us right now? It could be argued that the Chiefs have a similar offensive power, but their defense isn't as good. What are your thoughts? Hey man, I am with you. I think the Chiefs are a great matchup, and I know it sets perfectly up to me talking yesterday and on Friday and probably how I'll talk tomorrow and the day after that and the week after that about finally pulling the trigger and getting my tickets to Mexico and my hotel to Mexico to see that game down in Mexico City, Rams-Chiefs. I am so stoked for that game, but I'm also a little nervous because you're right, crazy high-powered offense. But again, their defense seems to be in the shootout mode. But if you look back at what we just went through with the Vikings, it was kind of turned into shootout mode, right? Who's going to get the ball last? Who's going to score last? Who can really make the big plays at the end of the game? Which I really think then does skew back into our team, because even though the defense isn't playing up to par right now, where we'd love to see it through four quarters, they close that game for us, right? Aaron Donald comes through with tons of pressure, two sacks. Dominican Sue gets a sack. Dominican Sue's in their face. Kirk Cousins starts hanging on to the ball a little bit further because he wants to go further down the field. Offensive linemen are getting worn out. John Frankenmeyer's making plays. We're finally getting Mark Barron back, who can cover and you know, run not only north and south, but east and west. So you're right. I think we do win that matchup. I'm excited for the Bears matchup on our... I'll keep it on our schedule here for teams that will play. I'm excited about that Bears game. You know, watching their offense on Sunday and their defense, right? Khalil Mack. I think he's averaging at least a sack and a strip sack since he's come to the Bears. Their defense has really changed around. They've got Hicks as well. That's an amazing player. Their cornerbacks have stepped it up. So I think that December matchup late in the season here in Chicago in a cold weather, I think that's going to be an interesting one as well. But if you're looking up and down across the NFL right now, a little homer here, but I'm feeling like there's not a lot of teams that match up to us right now. But great question. It's funny you say that, because on Sunday I was literally watching all of the NFL games, obviously because the Rams weren't playing, but I kind of was thinking that in my head as I was watching, you know, kind of going down the checklist as I was watching games and going, nope, you guys aren't good enough. You wouldn't match up. Nope, that wouldn't fly against us. And there's not a lot of teams right now playing at the level that the Rams are. So, Will Powell, thanks for the question. We'll keep it on Twitter. And the next one comes from Mike Cooks on Twitter. Big ups, Mike Cook. Thanks for reaching out. Here's his question. How worried should we be about the pass defense? Cousins is good. Diggs and Thielen are good. But we gave up way too much. Mike, I'm with you, my man. I mean, I kind of just a little bit ranted it in the last half, because at least we have the closer, right? We have that defense at the end that can come in and close games. Offenses, when they start the game, their quarterbacks are going, all right, I got to get this ball out in 1-2 throw. Offensive linemen are going, man, I'm hyped up. I'm ready. I've been this whole game. We know what's going on. We're not blitzing a ton as of right now. And they're putting a lot of focus. But you saw the Minnesota Vikings just break down on the offensive line near the end of the game. Kirk Cousins kept keeping the ball just a few seconds longer in his hand, and that's when you start to get into trouble. So as much as I share the same sentiment that you're asking here in your question, I feel like it's still 4 weeks in, right? These guys have played for 4 weeks together. Not a lot of training camp time, not a lot of OTA time, all of them together. You know, we've just lost Talib out of this group. Easley's gone. Barron coming back. There's a weird rotation of how this is going, but a lot of the core is still hanging tough. We've got some rookies and some young guys stepping into roles that are playing really well. So as a whole, I got to step back and look at how we're taking everything into account here. But I think my biggest thing I'm going to always come back to is, yeah, you might be able to stop us the first half, or you might be able to tear us up a little bit here and there out the gates. But as everyone starts getting tired in that fourth quarter, and we're one of the best physically fit teams in the NFL, and you got guys like Aaron Donald that, you know, literally probably could play 8 quarters of football, or Ndamukong Suh, who plays 4 quarters of football, and then when he's done, he goes and works out, getting ready for the short week like he did last week, then yeah, I think we still hold that upper hand. But is it something that you want to keep an eye on, and that we don't always have to wait till the fourth quarter to close a game? A high-powered offense like Cousins and the receivers we talked about, they're going to eat too. So you just got to minimize that and make the plays and make game-changing plays, right? Like the one that Frankenmeyer did. That's a game-changing play. You know, obviously at that point of the game, it was a game-changing play. But even if that happens in the third quarter, you know, look where we had the ball. It was inside their territory, inside their 50. now setting up our unstoppable offense at this point where they don't even have to go the whole distance of the field. So once our defense starts pitching it a little bit more and we start playing some field position games, I think that's when you start to see this team go to the next level. But big deal, little deal, no deal? I think we're at a little deal right now. I don't think it's really it's not freaking me out yet, right? I know we're giving up a lot of points, but I think this is just kind of how this thing is going to grow. But great question, Mike Cook. Thanks for chiming in. I appreciate your question. All right, we'll take one more on this side, then we'll kick over to our last, then we'll kick over to the last segment, and then we'll get to some of the voicemails. So this will be our written portion of the show. This one comes via an email. This is lockedonrams@gmail.com. So guys, feel free. That's also an avenue to reach out. And I apologize. This one came about 10 days ago. I had seen it, and then I meant to kind of give it a shout out earlier, but here we are, still giving big ups to Bill Overbaugh. Bill, appreciate you listening. He's been listening to us since the beginning of Rams Podcast and Locked On Rams for 3 seasons now. He says, our content keeps getting better and better, and also mentioned listening to us back in the quote-unquote train wreck year of the Fisher era kept me sane, but it's a lot more fun now listening as we're talking the triumphs of today. So, Bill, couldn't agree with you more. We had fun doing that podcast 3 years ago with Jeff Fisher. We always had something to talk about, right? Always had something to nitpick, make fun of, and talk about who we wanted and how we wanted to move forward. But here we are in the good days. So I appreciate you listening since the get-go and the kind words you said. This so much isn't really a question as much as it's Bill talking a little bit about some things that he had seen and wanted to share a story about how the Rams had gotten actually too good for Rams fans outside of the SoCal area. He's out in New York and said, you know, he has to go to the bars to go see the Rams games. You know, he subscribed to the Sunday Ticket. But due to the fact that the Rams were actually picked up by his local Fox station, he was actually blacked out on the Sunday Ticket because of the local area showed the game. Got to watch the game, but unfortunately, because the Rams were killing the Cardinals so much halfway through the third quarter, they switched games to a more competitive game to the Niners-Lions. So he had to suck it up and watch the rest of that game. And again, tried to go find it on the Sunday Ticket, but it was blacked out. Rams are too good. Said he's spending $50 a month to see the Rams, and he still can't see them sometimes. But he wraps it up by saying, you know, no better way to see this go down this way. He'd rather have to go through this mess because they're so good than to, you know, get a chance to see them be so bad. So I totally agree with you. And I do want to give you a little piece of advice. I know you already dropped the money. But if you ever have any issues, and this goes kind of across the board for you guys in multiple countries and all over the place, check out Reddit. Go to Reddit, NFL Streams. It'll take you to a page. From there, you can pick any game. I actually do this for all sports, but you can pick any game once you get into the NFL Streams kind of subreddit. And then from there, you pick the Rams game. Usually the first couple links near the top are your best. You're probably going to have to do a little pop-up blocker. Never sign up for anything. Never pay for anything. It's always free, but they've got some great streams up there. I watch probably 95% of my games via that way. So if you guys are getting blacked out in any areas, or if you're paying, you're getting crappy service or something, check out Reddit. Google search Reddit NFL Streams. You can thank me later. All right, guys, we're going to step aside. We'll be right back. Tuesday edition of Lockdown Rams, and some more from you, the listener. We'll be right back after a couple words from these sponsors. More with me on the other side. What's up, Rams Nation? That's right, third and final segment of the day, Tuesdays. Locked On Rams. It's been a good one so far. I mean, at least from this side. I'm having a great time. We're going to get some more calls from you guys. I'm going to try to throw in some tidbits near the end if I don't rant too much with your questions. And if not, I'll just save a couple of those things for tomorrow, baby. We got some time. We got some time. That's the nice thing about having a podcast every day. If you don't get it to it on Tuesday, yeah, throw it in on Wednesday. So, guys, again, I appreciate it. Our numbers are growing. I got to say thank you so much. Interaction has gone up so much. Again, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Locked On Rams, all over the place. Share your thoughts. I'm going to do my best to get to you guys. I've been overwhelmed with the amount of responses, so if I didn't get to your response this time, I promise, I'm trying to take mental note of who I'm getting on here and who I'm not. So if I didn't get to your question, we'll get to it soon. Keep sending it my way. We'll make sure we get you on the show. We'll get you a shout out. So I guess to that, it's big ups to Rams Nation, man. You guys are holding it down. So here we go. We'll start the voicemail portion of the podcast. And this one comes from our man Reggie out here in California. So let's hear what Reggie had to say.
Hey, Bear, it's your buddy Reggie. I called last week. I heard you. You took my question. I thank you for getting me on. I'm back again fresh after this Rams win. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on Jared Goff. I mean, I'll be honest. I was a Wentz guy when the draft came around a few years back. And through that first year, you know, it kind of looked like he was going to be the guy. But going forward from now, I don't think I would rather have anybody else other than Jared Goff with this team, this system, this quarterback, the strides that he's made all year, and having Coach McVay, you know, calling the plays and running the offense. I don't think there's five quarterbacks in the league that you would rather have going forward from this point out than Jared Goff. And he mentioned in the SI article that this wasn't some quick explosion where he just all of a sudden got better. He mentioned that it was incremental. And I believe that if he continues to incrementally get better and stays on the path that he is on now, and that path may not be 450-yard games, but if they're 285, if they're right around 300, I think he maybe can cement himself as a top 10 quarterback by the end of this year. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Once again, thanks for taking my call. Go Rams, baby.
Reggie, great call, my man. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. And you know what? Don't feel bad, man. I was the same exact way. The funny thing is, we talked about this earlier in the podcast. When I first started the podcast 3 years ago, and it was Jeff Fisher, and it was that number one pick, and it was me really learning about these Rams, and me and James, one of our first couple episodes. I mean, the crazy thing is we did this maybe a year ago, went back and listened to like the first three episodes we ever did. And we were big Wentz guys too. So I'll admit it with you. I was definitely during the draft process. There was something about him coming from a smaller school, winning those, you know, type of championships he did, going deep, kind of being that leader. He seemed more athletic coming out of college, you know, the way he was able to run. There was talks about Jared Goff moving in the pocket well, which, you know, I just felt like was just a way of saying he's slower, but, you know, can still have an upside. But you notice, man, the things that he's done in the pocket, now you're getting that understanding of what they were talking about that time. But you're right. You know, fast forward into that year, we don't even get to see Jared Goff until the last seven games. He looks pretty awful, but under the Jeff Fisher and under that offensive line, you know, there's Carson Wentz looking great, even into the next season being great. You know, they're talking MVP, and man, did we do this wrong? But Jared Goff, you're right, has just gotten better and better and better. And not just this massive jump. He's just done it over consistency. And he told us himself, he said, guys, when that last game of that season in his press conference, he said, we're going to change this and I'm going to put in all the work until we do. And he wasn't lying to us, man. He has gotten amazing. And you're right. We're not going to get those 400-yard games every game, but can he get up in that 300-yard mark every game and start to, you know, solidify himself as, you know, a top 10 quarterback by the end of the year? Yeah, I do think it's an opportunity. I still think there's a lot of doubters out there and a lot of haters. And, you know, there's so many of those top-tier elite quarterbacks that have been in the league for so long. So it may take a little bit of time to really consistently be in that top 10 list as far as, you know, national news, national talk. But I would totally be able to put up an argument at the end of the year if he continues to go this way. I mean, really, it's 4 weeks in. But depending on how this game goes tonight, he may walk out this week as the number one passing quarterback as far as yards go. And then the offense could be number one in points. So by the first quarter of the season, he may be the best quarterback in the NFL. And if he continues to do this, and like you mentioned, continue to get better throughout the season, he may very well have a case at some point in the MVP race. Now, I don't want to get too ahead of myself yet. It's early. It's four games. Got to keep him healthy. But that offensive line, those three wide receivers and the best running back in the league, he's got everything around him for him to get it right. We talked about that defense earlier in the show. If they can continue to step up and make plays, whew, he's going to get really good field position, and they are just going to put up some crazy numbers. So appreciate the call. I believe in it. I could see him being a top 10 quarterback. Will he be a top 10 quarterback coming into next year? You would hope so, right? How long does it take to get to elite? I think that conversation is going to have to continue on. But top 10 quarterback, if it goes like this, I think that's a no-doubter by the end of the season. So great question. Keep them coming. I love it. We're going to jump quickly over to our next one. And you know who it is. It's our man, Cody Buzzsaw Brown. Cody, speak to us, my man.
Hey there, Cody Buzzsaw Brown calling from all the way Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. I think you're used to me calling by now, but I'm not going to stop because I'm a real-time Rams fan. Anyway, here's my thought for going into this game. I think we really only have one weakness, if you want to call it that. Our O-line's amazing, but in the PFF rankings, you only have one player usually ranked higher than 10, and that's John Sullivan. Getting a little older, a little bit more injury-prone. What if we saw Austin Blythe kick into the center position and Jamon Brown came back in at right guard? What do you think? Give me your thoughts. But I do want to say that was probably the best Rams game I've ever seen. Jared Goff was amazing. I mean, I hate to be such a homer all the time because there was some serious quarterback performances on Sunday. But still, Jared Goff was the best on Thursday. Anyway, give me your thoughts, man. Peace out.
All right, great stuff again from Mr. Cody Buzzsaw Brown. Can't stop, won't stop. It's okay, buddy. You can keep calling me. I'm going to try to get you on as much as I can. This week it worked out just perfect. And you had a great question. You had some great insight there. And I want to talk to you about your first thing you were mentioning on the offense side of the ball. You talked about the only person outside the top 10 Pro Football Focus right now is Sullivan. Do we want to maybe move him out? Put Blythe there. Bring in Brown. I mean, I love where your head's at creatively. But I'm going to have to say a hard pass on that one. I'll tell you for a couple reasons why. Sully is basically the quarterback of that offensive line, right? He's doing all the calls. He's getting those boys ready. As much as Andrew Whitworth is the leader of that group, Sully is the communicator of that group, right? Extreme veteran, knows exactly what he's doing. And you talked about the only one outside the top 10. I don't have it directly in front of me, but I think he's like, what, maybe you said 18? It's not like he's at the bottom of the barrel, right? He's still top end center in this league. I think his veteran leadership alone, just hands down, we have to leave him that spot. Plus, you move Blythe down, all of a sudden, he's got to take on some more responsibilities that he's not doing when he's down there at right guard. Plus, we move Brown in. He's been sitting all season. What if he comes in and really starts to struggle? And all of a sudden, we went from having this solidified offensive line to some questions at center and trying to communicate. And our right side isn't as strong as it was when Blythe was over there. And all of a sudden, we're putting holes in our boat for no reason. So creatively, I like it. But man, this offensive line is the best in the league. So you just leave it as is. And you run this thing until someone, you know, gets banged up and we got to make a move. You force the line to make us make a move, not proactively go do a move there. And I couldn't agree with you more as far as Jared Goff, that amazing performance, just beautiful. You talked about, you know, trying not to be a homer and, you know, say he was the best performance of the week. But you know what? You're not a homer. He had the best performance of the week. So much so that for the second straight week, Jared Goff headlines the Pro Football Focus Team of the Week with his performance on Thursday night. The man was unstoppable. Back-to-back quarterbacks of the week go to Jared Goff. So no, you're not jumping the gun, man. He is that good. I mean, just going back to our previous question, you know, as this aligns itself and we continue to play football, I mean, there's a good chance Jared Goff's top 10 quarterback by the end of the year. There's a very good chance. There's a very good chance he's top 5 quarterback if it's going this way. That combo of him and McVay and that offensive weapons is just hard to beat with that offensive line as well. So I don't think we mess with the offensive line. I like your creative question, though. Keep them coming. All right, guys, I'm looking down at the timer here. This thing's getting a little long. As I mentioned, I've still got some goodies. Pro Football Focus. I'll just save them again. I'll just start throwing them out throughout the week. We got the crossover show tomorrow with Locked On Seahawks. I'm really excited to have them on. Grant Goldberg and Spike Freeman. And then we'll continue the week with Vinny Bonsignor, Serena Morales. Next thing you know, we're playing football again. Gosh, I love football season. All right, Rams Nation, I appreciate you hanging in with me as always. I hope you guys picked up both these episodes today and tomorrow. Get caught up on everything. Thank you for hanging with me. But you know what it is. Until next time, Rams Nation. Peace. But today is my day. It's my day. And no matter what they say, it's my day. La, 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 la. Yeah. All she ever wanted was attention. And a bunch of other shit I shouldn't mention.